You didn't. That was why Luther shot Mom. He saw her that night. That was what he was going to tell me before he got killed. Luther saw her leave your apartment. Or maybe he saw the actual killing, I don't know. So then a few days later, when he sees your mother near Rocco, he figures maybe she's going to kill him too. Aaron worked for Rocco, right? That's why Luther pulled out his gun. That's why he shot Mom first, not me. That's why he kept insisting it was self-defense. Fogbinlay had been right from the beginning.
Occam's razor, you know it?
I'm not in the mood, Detective. It states, I know what it states,
but the simplest explanation is usually the right one.
And what's the simplest explanation, Detective?
You killed Aaron Corval, or your wife did. I wouldn't blame either of you. The man was a monster. He was slowly poisoning your daughter, killing her, right in front of your eyes.
Fogbinlay had even noted that Ingrid could have sneaked over to the Bronx during a work break. They had her on CCTV leaving. Ingrid knew the timing. She made sure that Aaron was alone. Paige, I didn't know Mom was going to kill him. She pulled away from him now and sat all the way up. I came back to the apartment early and saw. Mom wore hospital scrubs. They were covered in blood. I guess she dumped them later. But when I saw her, I freaked out. I ran.
Where?
Another basement, like Rocco's. I got two fixes, laid down there for hours. I didn't even know how long. And when I woke up, I finally saw the truth.
What truth?
My mom had killed someone. Think about that for a second. They say you need to hit bottom before you can get better. When you realize that you made your mother kill a man. That's rock bottom. They were silent for a while. Then Simon asked, how come Mom didn't call the retreat and see if that's where you'd gone? Maybe she did, but I wasn't there yet. It took me days to make my way up. And by then, she was in a coma. Dad? What, sweetheart? Can we please let this go now? Simon thought about it. I think so. And it never leaves this car?
Never.
That means Mom, too.
What?
Don't tell her you know. Okay? Just let it go.
Chapter 40. In the weeks that passed, as Ingrid started to recover and life got better, Simon wondered about his daughter's request. Should what they said never leave the car? Was it really best not to tell his wife he knew that she had killed a man? Was it best to live with that secret? On the surface, the answer seemed to be yes. Simon watched his wife come back to him and his family. Eventually, Ingrid regained enough strength to come home. Weeks turned into months. Good months. Paige continued to improve, too. Eventually, the retreat let her come home. Sam headed back to Amherst with the start of a new semester. Anya was doing well in school. Simon was back at work. Soon, too, Ingrid returned to her patients. Life was more than returning to normal. Life was good. Really good. And when life is good, maybe it's best to let sleeping dogs lie. There was laughter and joy in their lives. There were gorgeous walks through Central Park. There were dinners with friends and nights at the theater. There was love and light and family. Ingrid and Simon both embraced Paige's return. They gave her all the support they could, while worrying that whatever demon Aaron had placed in her body may be weak or dormant, but it was still there, still waiting to pounce. Because demons never die. But neither do secrets. That was the problem. All of those good things were in the room, but so too was that secret. One night, during their walk through Central Park, Ingrid and Simon stopped in Strawberry Fields. Simon normally avoided this route. This had been where he'd seen Paige strangling out that Beatles tune. Which song was it again? He didn't remember. Strike that. He didn't want to remember. but Ingrid wanted to sit on the bench. Out of habit, he read the inscription, "This is for Jersey, the good dog, who would be happy to share this bench with you." Ingrid took his hand and stared out and said,
"You know."
"Yes."
"You understand why I did it?"
He nodded. "I do."
It was like she was drowning, and every time she came to the surface, he would drag her back under again.
"You don't have to justify it to me."
Ingrid took his hand. He squeezed hers and held on.
"You planned it," he said,
"as soon as she called.
And you made it violent and bloody."
"So the police would think it was a drug hit," she said.
He looked off, then back at her. "Why didn't you ask me to help?"
"Three reasons," she said.
"I'm listening."
"One, my job is to protect you, too, because I love you."
"I love you, too."
"Two, if I got caught, I wanted one of us to be free to raise the children."
Simon had to smile at that.
"Practical."
"Yes." "And three?"
"I thought maybe you'd talk me out of it."
He said nothing. Would he have really gone along with the plan to murder Aaron Corval? He didn't know. "Some adventure," he said.
"Yes."
He stared at his wife and got the overwhelms again.
"I love our family," Ingrid said.
"I do too."
She put her head on his shoulder, as she had done a million times before. There are few moments of pure bliss in this life. Most of the time, you don't realize that you are having one of those moments until they are over. But that wasn't the case right now. Right now, as Simon sat with the woman he loved, he knew. And she knew. This was bliss. And it wouldn't last. Epilogue. The state police found Elena Ramirez's body almost a year after her murder. There was a funeral for her in Chicago. Simon and Cornelius decided to attend. They chose to drive rather than fly. Cornelius planned the route, finding weird museums and roadside sites so they could make stops. Elena was laid to rest next to a man named Joel Marcus. They overnighted at a hotel outside Chicago. On the drive home the next morning, Simon asked, "Do you mind if we stop in Pittsburgh?"
"Not at all," Cornelius said.
Then, noticing the look on Simon's face, he added,
"What's up?"
"I just need to visit someone." When Simon knocked on the door, a young man opened it and peered out. "Doug Mulzer?"
"Yes."
Mulzer had not been able physically or emotionally to return to Lanford College after his ordeal. Simon didn't care. Or maybe he did. Maybe there'd been enough vigilante justice. "My name is Simon Green. I'm Paige's father." When they got back to New York City, Simon dropped off Cornelius and headed to PPG Wealth Management's office. It was late in the day, but Yvonne was still there. He pulled her aside and said, "I think I know what Ingrid's secret is." That night, when he reached his apartment building, Susie Fisk was holding the elevator door for him. She greeted him with a big smile and a kiss on the cheek.
"Hey," she said, "I see Sam is home from Amherst."
"Yeah, he came back tonight for break."
"So, you got all three home?"
"Yep."
"That must be great."
Simon smiled.
"It is. And I hear Paige enrolled at NYU.
"Yes, but she's still going to live at home."
"I'm really happy for you guys."
"Thank you, Susie. I know I've already thanked you a million times
and gave us that gift card for Red Farm, which was too generous. We've eaten there like four times already."
The elevator stopped at Simon's floor. He got out and opened the door with his key. Bad Wolves' version of Zombie was playing over a Bluetooth speaker in the kitchen. Ingrid was singing the chorus.
"What's in your head? In your head? Zombie."
Simon leaned against the kitchen doorframe.
Ingrid turned and smiled at him.
Hi, Ingrid said.
Hi.
How's the trip?
Good, he said.
Sad.
Your son is home,
so I heard.
What are you cooking?
My famous Asian salmon recipe, his favorite.
I love you, he said.
I love you too.
Where's Paige?
She's in her room.
5 minutes to dinner, okay?
Okay.
He headed down the corridor and knocked on her bedroom door. Paige said, come in. His daughter still looked pale and drawn and harried, even after all this time, and he wondered whether that would ever leave her. There had been bad nights and sweats and nightmares and tears. It was a struggle, and he wasn't sure that Paige would ever win it. He knew the odds. But maybe she would. He had wondered about Aaron's influence on Paige, their bizarre and twisted bond. Maybe again it was all simple, like Fogbenlay had said. You kill a man to protect your child. You kill a man, you save an addict.
I never understood how you first connected with Aaron, he said. That was the part I couldn't shake.
Elena Ramirez saw Henry Thorpe's DNA test. It showed all the half-brothers, including Aaron, but you took that DNA test too, Paige, didn't you?
Yes.
So I never understood. What was your connection to Aaron? What would make you so attached to someone so awful? Paige had been pulling a hoodie out of her drawer. Now she stopped and waited. You know what struck me as weird about your apartment in the Bronx? He continued. There were two single mattresses, one on either side of the room. He spread his hands. What kind of young couple doesn't share a bed?
Dad, let me just finish this, okay?
I went to see Doug Mulzer today in Pittsburgh. We need to talk about that at some point, about what he did to you. Or maybe you have in your therapy sessions.
I have.
Okay. But see, he was attacked. Viciously.
That was wrong, Paige said.
Maybe, maybe not. That's not my point. But Doug told me that a man with a ski mask assaulted him. It was Aaron, right?
Yes.
I should never have told him what Doug did to me.
Why did you?
Paige said nothing.
I couldn't figure that out.
But then Mulzer told me what Aaron kept screaming at him during the beating.
Tears came to Paige's eyes. They came to Simon's, too.
No one hurts my sister. Paige's shoulders slumped. When you took the DNA test, you did indeed find out that Aaron was your half-brother. But not on your father's side, Simon could feel himself shaking. You both had the same mother. It took a few seconds, but Paige managed to raise her chin and look at him.
Yes.
I checked with your aunt, Yvonne. Your mom's big secret? She didn't model overseas when she was 17. She fell in with a cult. She got pregnant by the leader. But they told her that the baby was stillborn. She thought maybe they intentionally killed the baby. She became suicidal. Her family, your grandparents, they grabbed her and got her deprogrammed at a retreat, the same one she took you to. His daughter crossed the room and sat on her bed. Simon joined her.
He was so damaged, Paige said.
His father abused him from a very young age.
Aaron, you mean?
She nodded.
And you have to remember where I was.
I'd been assaulted by Doug Mulzer at school. And then I take this DNA test, and it was like my whole life had been a big lie. I felt lost, scared, confused. And now I had this new brother. We talked for hours. I told him about the assault. So he took care of that. It was awful, but I also felt, I don't know, protected maybe. And then Aaron got me high, and it was like I liked it. No, I loved it. It let me escape from everything. Aaron made sure I got high again and again, and she stopped, wiped her eyes.
I think he knew what he was doing.
What do you mean?
I think Aaron loved the idea of a sister. He didn't want to lose me. He needed to keep me hooked so I didn't abandon him. And maybe he also wanted to get revenge on his birth mother. He was the child she threw away. Why not destroy the one she kept?
And you never confronted your mother?
No, I did.
She took a deep breath.
I came home and asked Mom if she had ever had a child. She said no. I begged her to tell me the truth. She finally broke down. She told me about the cult. She said she'd been impregnated by an awful man, but the baby died.
Based on what Yvonne had just told him, Ingrid still believed that.
I thought she was still lying to me, but you see, I didn't care anymore. I was a junkie by then. I only cared about my next fix. So I stole her jewelry and went back to my brother.
The sick, twisted bond. It was forged in blood. You talked about hitting rock bottom, Simon said, feeling something harden in his chest, something that made it nearly impossible to breathe. The fact that you'd forced your mother to kill someone. Paige squeezed her eyes shut tightly, so tightly as though trying to wish this all away. But she didn't just kill someone. They both knew what was coming. Paige kept her eyes closed, bracing for the blow. She killed her own son.
We can't tell her, Dad.
Simon shook his head, remembered what he and Ingrid said on that bench in Central Park. No more secrets, Paige.
Dad?
Your mother even told me the truth about killing Aaron. Paige slowly turned to face him, and Simon thought that she had never looked so clear-eyed.
This secret isn't like that. This secret will destroy her.
Through the door, they heard Ingrid call out in a happy, sing-song voice, "Dinner's ready! Wash up, everyone!"
We can't tell her, Dad.
It might come out anyway. She may even already know.
She doesn't know, Paige said.
The adoption agency doesn't have the records. Only we know the truth. They headed to the table, the five of them. Simon, Ingrid, Paige, Sam, and Anya took their seats. Sam started telling them about this goofy new lab partner he had in psych. It was a funny story. Ingrid laughed so hard, her eyes glistening. Ingrid caught Simon's eye and gave him that look that said how lucky and blessed they were. That look that said, hey, remember that moment in the park? This is one of those moments of bliss, too. This one is even better because we are with our children. We are in that moment now, that pure bliss, and we are fortunate enough to realize it. Simon looked across the table at Paige. Paige looked back at him. The secret was at the table, too. If Simon kept quiet, the secret would always be with them. He wondered what would be worse, having to live forever haunted by this secret, or letting the woman he loved find out that she had murdered her own son. The answer seemed clear. It may change tomorrow, but for tonight he knew what he had to do. Simon might not have stepped in front of the bullet when Luther shot Ingrid, but he would step in front of the bullet now, no matter how much it hurt. He listened to his wife's beautiful laugh, and he knew that he would pay any price to keep hearing it. So he made a solemn vow. There would be no more secrets. Except this one.
We hope you have enjoyed our presentation of Runaway by Harlan Coben. Performed by Stephen Weber. Performance copyright 2018 by Brilliance Publishing, Inc. All rights reserved. For further information concerning this program or other Brilliance audio titles, please call the following toll-free number, 1-800-222-3225, or visit our website at www.brillianceaudio.com. No part of this recording may be played for an audience or reproduced in any form. It may not be streamed, downloaded, broadcast, or copied without written permission. Address all inquiries to Brilliance Audio, P.O. Box 887, Grand Haven, Michigan, 49417.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.